What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. The New York Jets have officially ended the Zach Wilson era. They are trading him to the Denver Broncos. And with the NFL draft only 2 days away, on this episode, I want to talk about what this trade means for the Broncos' potential draft strategy. Did they trade for Zach Wilson because they don't have a lot of confidence that they can land one of the top quarterbacks in this year's draft? Or is Zach Wilson going to be nothing more but a backup at best, and they still have all the intentions in the world at making sure that they walk away with one of the best QB prospects in this year's draft class? Also, we know that it's not a secret. The Las Vegas Raiders really want Jaden Daniels. But if they can't find a way to trade up for him, Michael Penix, I believe, will be a perfect fit for what the Las Vegas Raiders want out of a quarterback. The dude has a great personality. He has swagger. He can throw the ball accurately from within the pocket. They have a pretty good group of wide receivers around him, and he could have immediate success with Antonio Pierce in Vegas. And I'm going to be breaking down why Michael Penix just is such a great fit for the Raiders, and they shouldn't pass up the opportunity to take him if he's still on the board at 13. J.J. McCarthy, I have watched every single game, every single throw of his from last year, and I now have my thoughts on how I believe he's going to pan out in the NFL. And lastly, Matt Ryan has officially announced his retirement. Is he going to get the sacred ticket to Canton to walk in the Hall of Fame? Before we get into it, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. Remember that we are not just a YouTube channel. We are a podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy. Follow us on Instagram at @JTSports_ and on X at @JTSports_. And here's a quick word from our partner, Mint Mobile. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. The Denver Broncos have made an interesting decision to trade for former second overall pick Zach Wilson. They are sending a 6th-round pick to the New York Jets to get Zach Wilson. They also get a 7th-round pick as well. And I'm really fascinated to see how this move impacts their decision in the draft. Because right now you can say that, man, Zach Wilson is garbage. They only traded for him because they wanted to add a little bit more depth to the quarterback room, and they're going to have a backup QB competition between him and Jarrett Stidham, and that does make sense. But another aspect of this move may be that they hear a lot of buzz about the top quarterback prospects, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, and we already know Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are going to be gone within the first 3 picks. Same thing could be said about Drake May. And they may not have the same amount of confidence now as they did a few days ago about their ability to land any one of the top guys. And they may not have the assets necessary to trade up. You could say Patrick Surtain would definitely be trade bait, and a team like the Patriots or Arizona would definitely take him and their 1st-round pick to move up into that top 5. But that's not a guarantee. And who knows if they even want to move on from Patrick Surtain. You need to have good corners if you want to win. So maybe they traded for Zach Wilson because this was their insurance policy. They're not going to be good anyway. So why not just go ahead and try to take a little swing to see if Sean Payton can maybe get a little juice out of Zach Wilson? The New York Jets aren't a good situation. They're a terrible organization. They don't have a good track record of being able to develop quarterbacks. And Sean Payton has been able to win with nearly any quarterback that he's been given. This dude was winning games with Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian his final season in New Orleans. When Zach Wilson was coming out of BYU, the dude was getting a lot of comparisons to Patrick Mahomes and Brett Favre. There was a draft story that Joe Klatt told on Colin Cowherd on the Herd a few weeks ago about how Sean Payton really wanted to get Patrick Mahomes. And when the Kansas City Chiefs traded up ahead of New Orleans to get him, he was really hurt about it. Zach Wilson may be a situation that Sean Payton sees as one man's trash is another man's treasure. And if Denver can't come away with the QB prospect that they really want, then they look at Zach Wilson and they say, you know what? Okay, we can't get our guy in this year's draft. We're going to give you a little bit of a go at it for one season. And if you're bad, hey, at least we'll be in position to draft the QB next year. But if you end up working out and taking advantage of this great opportunity to work with a guy like Sean Payton that's going to make sure you're in an offense that's tailored towards your strengths, that limits your weaknesses, and you do well, you can earn an extension and possibly save your career. This is a low-risk, high-reward move by the Denver Broncos. You're only giving up a late-round selection. And when it comes to this year's draft class, there are a lot of desperate teams this year. Denver may be one of them, but how desperate are you? Desperate men do desperate things. Is it really worth trading away Patrick Surtain? You're going to be bad regardless with them or without them, but certain players you just shouldn't part ways with. Part of the draft is to find superstars. Patrick Surtain is one of those. And you got to give the dude an extension, and he definitely deserves the money. It's going to be hard to pay him, but you got time. It's just right now, you trading away Patrick Surtain for a quarterback doesn't make you a better team now or even in the future, because we don't even know if you're going to use him in a trade to get the right guy. Despite how good of an offensive mind Sean Payton is, you like his ability to be able to develop any QB that they draft, but certain QBs have limited ceilings. Unless you get Drake May or Jaden Daniels, you're not going to get a QB that's going to have extremely high ceiling. So eventually you're going to get a QB that is capped. Zach Wilson, the potential that he has is still higher than the majority of these guys in this draft class. That can be a hot take. But if you're Sean Payton, you look at Zach Wilson, you say, you know what, like, I'll see what I can do with you if I can't get Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Or if I just don't want to give up a lot of assets. Okay, because Patrick Surtain is one of the best cornerbacks in the game. And trading him for any of these QBs, I definitely don't think it's worth it if you're Denver. Now, if you were trading Patrick Surtain for Caleb Williams, then I will pull the trigger on that. But if you can't get Caleb Williams, then there's no use of giving away a player of the caliber of Patrick Surtain. He's an elite Pro Bowl corner. If I can't get a QB that I know is going to be a guaranteed hit, then I'm not going to give that up. It's hard to find great players in the draft in the first round. The amount of hits in the first round are pretty low. You know, the percentages don't weigh high in teams' favors. Therefore, when you actually do draft a good first rounder, you should try to keep them and not just trade them away for a draft class that I think is heavily overhyped. You're trading away Patrick Surtain potentially to draft J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix, who I love, but his ceiling isn't that high. Or Bo Nix. Like, none of those guys would be worth giving up so much, including Surtain, the land or draft. So I think that for Zach Wilson, he definitely could be in the running to be the Denver Broncos starting quarterback this year. Maybe the Broncos just say, hell, like, We don't even give a damn about getting a quarterback no more, man, in the first round. We may just try to get best player available. Maybe we trade back, get some more draft picks for next year, and we load up for Shedeur Sanders. If Zach Wilson doesn't work out this season, I mean, we've seen Sean Payton win with a lot worse than Zach Wilson. So I don't think it's out the cards that maybe they made this move because they're not extremely sure about taking a QB or their chances of being able to get one where they're picking at. We know it's not a secret that the Raiders really want Jaden Daniels, but just being realistic about it, they don't have the draft capital or the assets unless they're willing to part ways with either Devontae Adams or Max Crosby to trade up into the top five with any team that's picking there currently. And if you can't get Jaden Daniels, I think that Michael Penix would be the next best option for you because he definitely should still be on the board at 13. There are some rumblings that maybe he could go in the top 10. And if you're Las Vegas, if you were to trade up for a QB, Michael Penix probably would be a QB that would be more realistically attainable to get. I don't think he's going to go in the top 10, but if you want to make sure that you can secure your guy, just go ahead and trade up into the top 8 and take him. Michael Penix would be the perfect fit for the Las Vegas Raiders as their franchise quarterback. He has swagger, great personality, he's humbled, and he's an extremely hard worker. This dude came back from like 3-4 several season-ending injuries when he was playing at Indiana. He goes to Washington, becomes one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and a Heisman finalist. That takes perseverance. That shows drives. That shows hunger. Because he could have easily given it up. He could have just medically retired. After that last injury that he had at Indiana, he could have just said, F football, I'm done with this shit. I can't stay healthy. And when you deal with so many injuries, like the ones Michael Penix did, it's hard to even be close to being the same player that you once was. But to become an even better player, that shows the hard work that Michael Penix puts in. You don't overcome that kind of adversity without being built differently. He also comes from Florida. You know, he comes from the trenches. This dude is somebody who you know he's going to be competitive. He's going to have that dog mentality in him. The locker room is going to gravitate towards him. Devontae Adams should love this dude. Antonio Pierce should love him too. This is the kind of quarterback that the Raiders need because he kind of embodies everything that you think of when it comes to the brand of Raiders football. You always think of swagger. You always think of guys who have a little bit of a personality. And you look at Antonio Pierce, he posted a video on Instagram with some Kendrick Lamar. I mean, Michael Penix and him, I think they kind of have a similar background, similar character. And just from a leadership standpoint, Michael Penix would be an upgrade from what they've had at QB in the last decade. I like Derek Carr, but I don't believe he was as relatable as what he needed to be to get the Las Vegas Raiders to the next level. Michael Penix is that guy that guys in the locker room are going to be willing to run through a brick wall for. He's going to be one of those quarterbacks that everybody is just going to want to hang out with. If a defender even just breathes on him the wrong way, the whole team is going to be ready to fight for him, similar to the effect that C.J. Stroud has had on the Houston Texans. The energy that the Texans locker room has for C.J. Stroud is infectious. They really love that brother. And when you talk to Michael Penix or you listen to just any interview of him, it's hard not to like this dude. It's hard not to believe that he can't succeed. I look at him similar to how I looked at Jalen Hurts. Overcame adversity with getting benched in the national championship. Could have transferred earlier, but he decides to remain the backup at Bama for a whole year. Then goes to Oklahoma, leads them to the college football playoffs. When you have these kinds of quarterbacks that overcome the kinds of adversity that Jalen and Michael Penix had to overcome, it's hard to imagine them failing because they're just determined to win. They're just determined to succeed. He also is a really good quarterback when it comes to getting the ball out fast, making smart decisions with the ball, throws an accurate deep ball. He may throw the best deep ball out of any of the QBs in this draft class. That's what the Raiders need. They need a quarterback that's going to be able to generate explosive plays downfield in the pass game. They need somebody who can get the ball to Davante Adams. Davante Adams, his production went down last season, not because he was slowing down, but because of the poor quarterback play they had. Hell, they beat Kansas City off a Christmas miracle. How the hell can you beat somebody by not throwing any passes the last three quarters of the game? Are you kidding me? Like, that's ridiculous, bro. You get Michael Penix, you're going to have somebody who you can trust to actually throw the football. He's also somebody who can come through for you late in games. He's a little bit streaky at times. He can be a little bit inconsistent when it comes to being accurate, throwing the football in the short, intermediate areas of the field. But if you can get him hot early and you can just find a way to put him in the offense where guys can just easily get open, you got good separators, which you do have, Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams. There's no reason why Michael Penix should not succeed in Las Vegas. Just with everything that this man has overcome to get to this point, I think it would be stupid to doubt Michael Penix. I think he has a higher chance of becoming a great quarterback in the NFL than he does of becoming a bust. I don't really care about the medicals. The dude's been healthy for two straight years. He's obviously a different player. And he has more mobility to his game than what we initially gave him credit for. Now, is he going to be running all over the field looking like Lamar or Kyler Murray? No, but if you give him a little bit of some green grass, he can definitely make you pay. He ran like 4 or 5 at his pro day. You give him some green grass, he may be a threat to take it 40 yards to the crib for a touchdown. You can still use him on design quarterback run, zone read. It's just you use his mobility sparingly. It's just an aspect of his game that is something that defenses aren't going to account for that often because they're not going to look at him and say, yeah, you're going to be torching us on the ground with your legs with all the injuries that you overcome. It's kind of one of those things that you're just going to have to show us. And it can be a little bit of a wild card for a team, whoever drives Michael Penix, like Las Vegas, to use that mobility sparingly as an element of surprise. Like how the Kansas City Chiefs did on that 4th-and-1 with Patrick Mahomes when they did that zone read. It was an element of surprise. We know that Patrick Mahomes can run, but he just doesn't do it that often. And when you use that with Michael Penix, it also benefits your offense. And it helps out your run game because you still have to account for it, but you don't know when it's going to happen. Overall, if you're the Raiders, you can't pass up on Michael Penix if he's on the board at 13. And even then, if you feel like somebody is going to just draft them before 13, I don't see a problem with trading up to get them. They say that, you know, maybe trading up for a quarterback like Michael Penix is a risky investment because of the injury history, but if you are in the situation the Raiders are in right now where you got Aiden O'Connell as your QB1, you got to do whatever you can to get the guy that you believe can be the franchise. Michael Penix, can he lead you to a Super Bowl? I definitely think he can. He's driven. He's motivated. Hard worker. Work ethic. He has all the intangibles that you look for in a starting quarterback. Does he have the skill set that translates on the field? Well, yes, he does. He throws an accurate deep ball. You know, he's pretty good moving inside the pocket. Now, his mechanics can be a little bit off, but he's left-handed. I feel like all left-handed quarterbacks outside of Tua just look a little bit weird when you watch them play. But I think that Michael Penix to the Raiders, man, you talk about a match made in heaven. I don't think it would get any better than that if you can't get Jaden Daniels. It seems like everybody has an opinion about J.J. McCarthy. NFL scouts, evaluators, and GMs think this dude is going to be the next best thing since sliced bread. Meanwhile, NFL fans feel differently. They think J.J. McCarthy is heavily overrated. He was carried by the team that he had around him at Michigan. And he's destined to be a bust at the next level. And the rise of J.J. McCarthy has just been so random because after the national championship game, he was projected to go anywhere between late second round to early third round. But all of a sudden, within the span of 2.5 months from the combine to his pro day to now, he's impressed NFL executives so much that they're willing to take the gamble on drafting him as high as second overall, possibly. So I watched every throw of J.J. McCarthy last year at Michigan because I'm asking the same question that you're asking. JT, what the hell is it that these NFL executives see in J.J. McCarthy that we don't like? Do we need to go get our eyes checked? Do we need glasses? Listen, if you are somebody who has a lot of concerns about your team drafting J.J. McCarthy in the first round, your concerns are definitely justified. Because out of all the games I watched out of J.J. McCarthy last year at Michigan, he only looked good when they were going up against crappy teams. Like, even against Bowling Green, he didn't look all that sharp. But once they started going up against Ohio State and Penn State, it seemed like he got worse and worse. And the more I watch J.J. McCarthy's 2023 campaign, the more I started to question, why is he getting so much first-round talk? Is it one of those Will Levis instances where people were gassing up Will Levis last year and he ended up being a second-round pick? I don't know. I hope so. And if you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings or the New England Patriots, like, you better hope your team doesn't draft J.J. McCarthy. Because your team is drafting a quarterback that, at his best, is going to be Alex Smith. When you watch this dude play, he definitely does look a lot like Alex Smith. Similar build, gets the ball out fast. He'll take what the defense gives him. And you see, here's the problem with getting compared to Alex Smith. In 2024, J.J. McCarthy getting compared to Alex Smith is more of a negative than it is a positive. It's not really a compliment. It's more of an insult. Alex Smith was a solid quarterback, but he was the ultimate game manager. He never elevated the team. He never was able to lead the team to a win in a big moment in the postseason. He was just good enough. Good enough isn't going to be able to cut it for me if I'm Minnesota and I'm giving up 3 first rounders for you. I need a quarterback that's going to be a game changer. If I take you in the first round, can you go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes? Can you go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow? That's what you should be looking for out of a first-round quarterback, not somebody who at their best can be Alex Smith. When you're drafting a prospect in the first round, you should be looking for one or these two things. Either they have elite potential, like Anthony Richardson, for example. If he reaches his potential, he could be damn near the best quarterback in the league. That's what you're looking for out of certain prospect that you're taking in the first round. High-end potential because they have high-end athletic traits. They're one percenters athletically. And if you can mold and develop that, they can become the best at their position. Then the second prospect that you look for in the first round is the prospect that may not have high upside, but they're day one material. They're ready to come into the league and make an impact right away. Those are the two types of prospects that you look for in the first round if you're a general manager, in my opinion. Either you got high-end potential or you're able to come and contribute right away as a rookie, and then you have the potential to maybe blossom into somebody who's really good at their position, or maybe you're just a solid starter. But I'm not willing to take a gamble or a dice roll on a dude like J.J. McCarthy that at his best gives me Alex fucking Smith. Are you kidding me? Cut me a break. You think that the 2.0 version of Alex Smith and McCarthy is going to be good enough to dethrone Patrick Mahomes? Bro, we literally just saw the difference in between having an elite quarterback and having a good quarterback in this past year's Super Bowl. Brock Purdy was good enough to lead the 49ers to a field goal in overtime. Mahomes led the Chiefs to the Super Bowl and the Lombardi Trophy. Why? Because he's an elite quarterback. The difference in this year's Super Bowl is the reason why you don't draft a guy like J.J. McCarthy in the first round. Brock Purdy versus Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl this past season gave us all the reasons why J.J. McCarthy shouldn't be a first-round selection. The potential isn't high, and the risk is really high as well. The ROI just isn't there from your McCarthy. I'm not okay with drafting Alex Smith in the first round, but if you're okay with your team drafting a Kirk Cousins or a Dak Prescott kind of QB, then cool. You got your guy. You got you somebody who can win you some games with the right situation, can get you to the playoffs. There's a lot to like about J.J. McCarthy. Good mobility. Really good arm. Throws with a ton of velocity. I like his throwing motion. But you're not going to get somebody that's going to elevate your team, that's going to make guys better. You lose a couple of your starters on the offensive line. You lose a star receiver or two. J.J. McCarthy's production goes down the drain. I just don't think that it's worth investing a first-round pick in somebody who, at best, is going to be a really good game manager. If I'm looking for a good game manager, I draft that in round two or three. Look at Tua. Dolphins fans know in their hearts that they made a really bad decision to draft him over Justin Herbert. That's why they make so many efforts to try to defend the decision to give Tua a long-term extension when he really shouldn't get one. Because the dude isn't good enough to get the Dolphins to the Super Bowl. You look at J.J. McCarthy. Is he going to be able to get any team that drives him over the hump? I don't think he is. Yes, a quarterback needs talent around him to succeed. But the better the quarterback, the more he can succeed with less talent around him. Mahomes won a Super Bowl this year with Travis Kelce and Rasheed Rice being his two top options in the passing game. And Travis Kelce is good, but the dude definitely was regressing. At least it looked like he was regressing during the regular season. Rasheed Rice was a rookie, and most people didn't even know who this dude was until around the midway point of the season. They didn't have no superstar ride out. So Patrick Mahomes, because of how good he is and him being an all-time great talent, was able to make up the difference for what Kansas City was lacking on offense. J.J. McCarthy isn't that kind of guy. And if I don't get that out of you in the first round, I don't think you're worth the investment. So me, I wouldn't touch J.J. McCarthy in the first round. And I think that any team that does draft him in the first round, especially if you trade up for him, is making a huge mistake. No matter how good the coaching is, you need somebody who still is going to be able to elevate in certain moments. And you don't get that out of J.J. McCarthy. And their biggest games, they didn't even ask this dude to do too much. He struggled against Penn State. They put the ball on the ground. Didn't really do much against Ohio State or Alabama. And he struggled against Washington. He looked like dog shit against Washington. And Washington's defense was mid for most of last year. I don't get the J.J. McCarthy hype. I think that he could get somebody fired, whoever drafts him in the first round. And the Commanders make the mistake of drafting J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, and that whole entire organization, you just might as well just go ahead and pencil them in on a pink slip, bruh, because J.J. McCarthy is going to get all those cats fired. Drafting J.J. McCarthy over Jaden Daniels would be the most regrettable decision that any team in the draft could make. Matt Ryan, a former MVP, former All-Pro, top 10 in passing yards, touchdowns, fourth quarter comebacks, has officially announced his retirement from the NFL after 15 seasons. And he retired as an Atlanta Falcon. I don't know about you and how you feel about Matt Ryan, but in my opinion, he definitely should have a first-class ticket to the Hall of Fame. When I think of some of the best quarterbacks of the 2010s, Matt Ryan is always one of the first quarterbacks that pops up in the front of my head. All right, yeah, you got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, and Big Ben. And outside of those guys, who else are you going to have behind them? You definitely got to have Matt Ryan. When Matt Ryan was playing for the majority of his career, he was no worse than a top eight, top nine quarterback. And I think that he may be the most disrespected MVP in the history of the NFL. He wasn't the most flashiest guy. He didn't have the flash of a Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson, but he was heavily efficient. And to me, he was a better quarterback overall than what Eli Manning was. His Hall of Fame case is way stronger than Eli Manning's if you take away the Super Bowls, because that's the only thing that Matt Ryan is missing from his resume, is that illustrious Super Bowl win. He doesn't have that. He has everything else. MVP, four-time Pro Bowler. He's top 10 in every statistical category, damn near impossible for a QB that matters. How does he not deserve a place in the Hall of Fame? The Hall of Fame is supposed to be where some of the best players to ever play this game are honored for immortality. You mean to tell me that Matt Ryan doesn't deserve that? You can't tell the story of the NFL without Matt Ryan, in a sense. I know he's not one of those guys that everybody loves because he wasn't super flashy, but let's not act like everybody didn't know about Matt Ryan in the 2010s. Like, Matt Ryan was a really good QB. When I think of consistency, somebody who was daily accurate with the football, I think of Matty Ice. He went to two NFC championships, won one, went to a Super Bowl. He accomplished more in his career than what Phillip Rivers did. And I wouldn't take Phillip Rivers over Matt Ryan. He didn't even look good in the postseason. I would definitely take Matt Ryan over Big Ben, and this is coming from a Steelers fan. Big Ben was a turnover machine in the playoffs. Yeah, he put up great numbers near the tail end of his career, but he was a large reason why Pittsburgh never was able to live up to their potential with the Killer Bees. If you give Matt Ryan the team that Big Ben had, 2018, 2019, 2017, I think the Steelers go all the way. Matt Ryan, to me, was a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. And both of these guys were around, you know, the same class. They were both elite. But the gap between them, let's not act like it was big from a talent standpoint. A lot of Big Ben's success came early in his career. Later on in his career, he got better when you got Todd Haley as your OC and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and all these receivers, but it never translated to much success come playoff time. At least Matt Ryan was able to be more successful come postseason during his career. At least in my eyes, hell, even Drew Brees, like, Drew Brees wasn't that good in the playoffs. Matt Ryan had better postseason performances than Drew Brees and a lot of the times that he went to the playoffs. Like, Drew Brees had a couple of really good seasons in the playoffs, but a lot of his playoff performances were less than memorable. I think that Matt Ryan is incredibly underrated in terms of how people view him from an all-time standpoint. When you look at Pro Football Reference, where they got all his stats and all his accolades, he grades out as the 12th best quarterback all times in terms of all their metrics and career stats, accolades, awards. Matt Ryan, to me, you know, he has done everything there is to do in the NFL other than win the championship. Winning a Super Bowl shouldn't determine if you get into the Hall of Fame or not when you have an MVP, when you have multiple Pro Bowl appearances, when you are a former All-Pro, when you have good statistics when it comes to postseason metrics. I don't get how Matt Ryan can get left out of the Hall of Fame. Should he be first ballot? No, but he definitely does deserve to get in eventually in a couple of decades, because he was always a really consistent quarterback, and he played in a division that had Cam Newton and Drew Brees, and he was still finding ways to make it to the postseason even when he had teams that weren't really all that ideal. He went through multiple coaches. He had times when Julio Jones wasn't able to play and he missed a good stretch due to injuries. I mean, Matt Ryan was the definition of what you look for out of your franchise QB. Somebody who stepped up in the big moments. He rose to the occasion in the big games in the postseason. The only issue is, in the biggest game of his career, he came up short. And that's what people use to define Matt Ryan's legacy. But if you look at what Matt Ryan has done on a wider scale of his career, he's a Hall of Famer. He's better than Eli Manning, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. And the only reason he's in the Hall of Fame is because of Super Bowls. Take away that from Eli, you don't have really anything at all. He was never a top 10 quarterback that many years that he played, maybe three or four. Matt Ryan was top 10 every single season up until the last 2 years of his career. So Matt Ryan, I think he needs to have a ticket in the Hall of Fame. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, leave a like, subscribe to the channel, give us a 5-star review. Remember that you can find every episode in audio format on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. And I will see you guys shortly with another episode of the podcast.